Our epistle for this 11th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold it fast, as I preached it to you, unless you have believed to no purpose. For I delivered to you, first of all, that I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are with us still, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as one born out of due time, he was seen also by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. At that time, Jesus departed from the district of Tyre to came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the district of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and he entreated him to lay his hands upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And his ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, so much the more did they continue to publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, he has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hands upon him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, this Sunday, I would like to highlight 2 points that I think are necessary. One, it's from the Sunday, from the Gospel of the Sunday's Mass. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb. It's easy to go and talk about the man who was cured or Christ who was doing the curing. But today I want to highlight they. They brought to him. It's a great reminder to us that we affect other people. Whenever somebody comes in contact with another, they never leave the same. Either they leave better or they leave worse, depending on the person that they're meeting and upon their attitude, how they've handled themselves. If a soul meets one who is disturbed or uncharitable or unkind or a gossip, and in all charity fights that temptation, they leave a better person. But then again, there is a reminder to us in today's gospel of an obligation that we have to our fellow brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, I should say. Christ tells us, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. We are called to help each other get to our eternal home, which is heaven. We are called to help each other become saints by good example, by how we live our lives, and sometimes by what we say. Too many people focus on what is said and not as much on how they live. Words are cheap. Christ himself tells us this. Not he who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. What is the will of the Heavenly Father? To live a life of charity. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and will, and love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. Souls are dependent upon us on how we live, and we are not here called to judge souls. How we strive to make good use of God's grace will not only affect us, but will affect other people. When we have an opportunity for grace and we reject it, and we go stand before the good Lord having rejected that grace, you're not going to have to only answer for the grace that you rejected, but also the neglect of the souls which could have been affected by the grace that you neglected. The opposite, of course, is true. When we accept a grace and we allow the good Lord to take prominence in our day, in our lives, then we please the Heavenly Father. We grow closer and we are an instrument to help others gain a knowledge and perfect their relationship also with the Heavenly Father. How we live our Catholic faith, this faith which we were called to, this vocation, other souls depend upon. Those friends of the deaf and dumb man did not. They had no real obligation to take this man to our Lord. But they did, and he was able to speak correctly. He was cured. And in this event, we see the starting of the formation of the rubrics of sacraments. The very same thing that our Lord did to this man is done when the priest performs the rite of baptism. So that's the first thing I want to talk about. The second thing I want to talk about today, highlight, is the feast tomorrow, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Far too often, we let our calendars go by and we have feasts that are put on the calendar and we're like, I think I've heard that saint or I've heard of that feast of Our Lady. And then we do no study on it. We're negligent in understanding the lesson or the reminder that Holy Mother of the Church holds out to us. In 1944, the Sacred Congregation of Rites put this feast on the calendar. This devotion started about the 17th century and grew in the 17th and 18th centuries. A great promoter of this devotion was a feast we celebrated last week, St. John Eudes. Pope Pius IX, he's the one that promulgated the Mass and office for this feast. It's a great reminder to us that of that saying that we find in theology, that Latin idiom, if you will, lex orandi, lex credendi, the law of prayer is the law of belief. And there's no greater prayer in the Church than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so when there is a Mass made for a particular feast, that's a great reminder to us that this feast of Holy Mother of the Church, we should pay attention to. Pope Pius XII dedicated all mankind to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Towards the end of World War I, when he saw so much tragedy in the world. In 1917, Our Lady appeared at Fatima to the three children, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco, and told these three children, "My son wishes to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart." In 1957, December 26, a priest by the name of Father Augustine Fuentes interviewed Lucia, the last interview of Sister Lucia. I'm not going to read the whole interview, but I would like to end today's sermon by reading part of that interview. Father Fuentes writes, and of course, this interview was witnessed by another priest, so it wasn't just one person's interpretation, it was checked out. Actually, the reason why Father Fuentes interviewed Lucia is because Father Fuentes was commissioned by Rome in the process of canonization for Francisco. And so he went and he was interviewing relatives, and this was the interview that he had with Lucia. And he writes, "Sister Lucia told me, 'Father, the devil is fighting a decisive battle against the Virgin. And as you know, what most offends God and will gain him the greatest number of souls in the shortest time is to gain the souls consecrated to God. For this also leaves unprotected the field of the laity, and the devil can more easily seize them.'" Starts to hint of what's happening in the church at the time. "Also, Father, tell them that my cousin Francisco and Jacinta made sacrifices because they always saw the Blessed Virgin very sad. In all her apparitions, she never smiled at us. This anguish that we saw in her caused by offenses to God and the chastisements that threatened sinners penetrated our souls. And being children, we did not know what measures to devise except to pray and to make sacrifices." Referring to the vision of hell, she said to Father, "For this reason, Father, it is my mission not just to tell about the material punishments that will certainly come over the earth if the world does not pray and do penance. No, my mission is to tell everyone of the imminent danger we are of losing our souls for all eternity if we remain fixed in sin. Father," she continues, "we should not wait for the call to the world from Rome on the part of the Holy Father to do penance, nor should we wait for a call for penance to come from the bishops in our diocese, nor from our religious congregations. No, our Lord has often used these means, and the world has not paid heed. So now each of us must begin to reform himself spiritually. Each one has to save not only his own soul, but also all the souls that God has placed in his pathway. Father, the Blessed Virgin did not tell me that we are in the last times of the world, but I understood this for three reasons. The first is because she told me that the devil is engaging in a battle with the Virgin, a decisive battle. It is a final battle where one party will be victorious and the other will suffer defeat. So from now on, we are either with God or we are with the devil. There is no middle ground. And this is a great reminder for us to pause and to think about our Lord's words, "You are either with me or you are against me." This is why we don't go along with the modern church. We can't have part with that made up church which counters what has been taught through the centuries. And even though they might set up little churches as pacifiers for those who would want a taste of what they call tradition, and maybe even present masses that are in Latin, let's pay attention to Our Lady's words. There is no middle ground. The second reason is because, Lucia continues, "Our Lady told me, as well as my cousins, that God is giving two last remedies to the world, the Rosary and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. in being the last remedies, that is to say, they are the final ones, means that there will be no others. And the third, because of the plans of the divine providence, when God is going to chastise the world, he always first exhausts all other remedies. When he sees that the world pays no attention whatsoever, then, as we say in our imperfect way of talking, with a certain fear, he presents us the last means of salvation, his Blessed Mother. If we despise and reject this last means, heaven will no longer pardon us, because we will have committed the sin, a sin that the gospel calls a sin against the Holy Spirit. This sin consists in openly rejecting, with full knowledge and will, the salvation that is put in our hands. Also, since our Lord is a very good Son, he will not permit that we offend and despise his Blessed Mother. We have as obvious testimony the history of different centuries where our Lord has shown us, with terrible examples, how he has always defended the honor of his Blessed Mother. Prayer and sacrifice are the two means to save the world. As for the Rosary, as for the Holy Rosary, Father, in these last times in which we are living, the Blessed Virgin has given a new efficacy to the praying of the Holy Rosary. This in such a way that there is no problem that cannot be resolved by praying the Rosary, no matter how difficult, be it temporal or above all spiritual. In the spiritual life of each of us, or the lives of our families, be they our families, in the world or religious communities, or even in the lives of people and nations. I repeat, there is no problem, as difficult as it may be, that we cannot resolve at this time by praying the Holy Rosary. With the Rosary, we will save ourselves, sanctify ourselves, console our Lord, and obtain salvation for many souls. Then there is devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, our most holy Mother, holding her as the seat of mercy, goodness, and pardon, and the sure door to enter heaven. This is the first part of the message referring to Our Lady of Fatima. The second part, which is briefer but no less important, refers to the Holy Father. And so there you have it. A great reminder on this eve of the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The question is presented to you by Holy Mother of the Church, I being her poor instrument. What is it that you will do? Will you be willing to sacrifice 20 minutes of your day each day for 5 decades of the Rosary? Will you put away or put aside sin and selfishness? Will you be willing to offer up those sacrifices, especially the sacrifice of your daily duty? Do other sacrifices go out of your way to promote God in your life? Because when you do, you affect other souls. But you can't do it by yourself. And you're not by yourself. You have your Blessed Mother to turn to. So we have some decisions to make and perhaps perfect as we read this last message of Lucia from Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.